like I'm getting rays of glory coming down from my lamp here. I'm aware of it if you're watching the laundry cam. I'm aware of the rays of glory. Technically, I probably should get rid of them, but I kind of like them. I want them here. Welcome to another week of the Revelation series. And I'm sorry I left you in the lurch last week. I told you I was going to give you the grades of Facebook addiction, and I forgot to do that. So let me see if I still have my Facebook page up from psychologytoday.com. I do, and here are the levels of addiction. This is really ridiculous. Like, it took an expert to come up with this, somebody named Paddock in 2012. Facebook addiction scale, the FAS. Number one, this is kind of like the Fujita scale of hurricanes and tornadoes. You spend a lot of time thinking about Facebook or planning how to use it. That's the first level of addiction. You're okay at that point. Number two, you feel an urge to use Facebook more and more. Level two addiction. Category two, if we're going to compare it to a tornado or a hurricane. And I would tend to do that. Number three, you use Facebook in order to forget about personal problems. Oh, yeah. Who wouldn't? If I was on Facebook, that's why I would be using it. Number four, you have tried to cut down on the use of Facebook without success. Uh-oh! I've heard many people say that. I'm getting off Facebook. And what happens? Well, it lasts like as long as a New Year's resolution. Perhaps for some people, it is a New Year's resolution. That's category four, Facebook problem, Facebook addiction. Number five, you become restless or troubled if you are prohibited from using Facebook. All right, now, unlike the Fujita scale of tornadoes and hurricanes, we have one more category here. You can't get worse than a category 5 tornado and hurricane, but there's a category 6 addiction to Facebook. And if this is you, your roof's coming off. Number 6, you use Facebook so much that it has had a negative impact on your job/studies. That sounds pretty innocent, but it's not. It's level 6 addiction to Facebook. Okay, we're done with that. Now, and of course, it's all part of the thing. I was talking about big government, and that the ultimate big government is the New World Order, the One World Government coming at the end of this age. And I said that Hillary Clinton would be pro-big government. And I didn't like big government because I believe in free enterprise and freedom of people to make their own decisions, or as many of their own decisions as they can. So people could assume, and I thought of this after the show over the weekend, I said that, of course, would Donald Trump mean small government? Well, Donald Trump would be small government applications, one would hope, ideally. For instance, Ronald Reagan is famous for saying, get government off our backs. And indeed, he decreased regulation. He decreased taxes on businesses to the point that corporations could breathe. They could have a dependable outlook. And therefore, everybody had more money. Because when the top is happy, everybody's happy, really. The top meaning the producers, the corporations. They stay in the country, they hire more people, they have breathing room, they have less regulations. They can actually lower prices. When a company is penalized, say an oil company, they don't pay the penalties. When the government says, we're going to tax an evil corporation, and we're going to impose confiscatory taxes upon it, it is assumed that the corporation would absorb that penalty, but no, they pass it on to the consumer in the form of higher prices. So it ends up, we end up punishing ourselves. It's really counterintuitive. But back to big government. Even if a government, let's say a really easy, low-profile government, would present itself as getting out of your life, as Ronnie said, off our backs. There is such a thing as a shadow government. A shadow government is a government that uses the visible government as a fence, as a front, and operates under the cover, under the surface. And we see this happening. For instance, we know that George Soros, who is a Jew by no accident, pours millions of dollars into the Democratic Party to support Hillary Clinton and her doctrines and her policies. Nobody knows this, except many people know it, but the general public does not realize that there are entities behind the governments that are propping up the governments, and these entities are probably, I would say, Jewish, and they have lots of money. And so, therefore, they become a shadow government in that they're not seen. And yet, it is well known that people can buy access to government. People can buy favors from government. What do they buy it with? Money. Who has money? The Jews. And so, the Jews will shadow govern the visible governments until the time when they just become so powerful that they can dispense with the front governments and become their own government. And I believe that's what's going to happen. In the meantime, as I said, I would rather have even the presentation government go easy, less taxes. Who doesn't want to pay less taxes? Who doesn't want to pay less money at the pump? So I want to see that happen, and I don't think that can happen under a big government policy, i.e. Hillary Clinton, i.e. liberal, socialist, communist. It's just a long-term manifestation of it. It's the same thing, it's just early stages. Socialism, early stages of, or liberalism, the early stages of socialism, the early stages of communism. Communism is basically one world government, or it purports to be. A communist nation is one world within its nation, so it's not technically one world, it's one nation, but it's a despotism. It holds all power, and it's not subject to checks and balances. That's one of the nice things about our government, if we let it happen, is that we have checks and balances for power. That's going to fall by the wayside eventually. Not sure. Nobody knows for sure the details of how this is going to happen, but it is going to happen. But I just wanted to tell you that I don't trust any big government, no matter what the political label on that government is. And even when it's a nice label, there's a shadow government behind it, or there's operators behind it. Although I would say if Trump became president, I think there would be many factions wanting to take him down. I think there are many more factions wanting to get Hillary elected than there are factions wanting to take Trump down. That's just my personal opinion. And I know many of you want me to quit talking about politics, but let me deliver a promise here. I told you how Jesus Christ was a reverse redistributionist. A redistributionist is a term used for one who believes that rich people should be punished, that somehow rich people cheated and stole their way to the top necessarily. They didn't get there by hard work. They didn't get there by studying. They didn't get there by applying themselves. And it is the policy of these people to tax these rich people more than normal people simply because they have money. How dare you have more money than other people? Again, it's the class envy, fanning the flames of class warfare, making people resent the fact that other people are successful. That's the basic. It's a jealousy issue. It's jealousy. Envy. Envy and jealousy. I don't want other people having what I don't have. And I will vote for somebody who will punish the evil capitalists. Yes, the evil capitalists who somehow managed to produce a great product, such as the movie Chicago, the musical, or say Apple. Steve Jobs produced a great product, and his company makes billions of dollars off of it. Fantastic. What's wrong with that? Nothing. It's great. And Apple would be making its product in the United States, I believe, if the government did not assess incredibly stupid tax rates upon it and choke it with regulations. Mm-hmm. People loved it in China, I know. There's cheap labor there. But apparently the people line up for the jobs. It's not my fault how China is. Nobody's holding a gunpoint, holding a gun to these people to work for Apple in China. They want to. They want to do it because they make a great wage for their country. And I don't know. That's just, you can't. Nobody's holding a gun to the people working in China for millions, not millions, but many U.S. companies. Less expensive labor, but chiefly it's fewer taxes and less regulations. Okay, Jesus Christ is the opposite of this. Instead of stealing, basically, if the rich want to give money, which much of them do, then great, let them do it. But it's wrong to take it from them involuntarily. It's legal robbery. What's the difference between a government using its power to assess really unfair tax rates? Why is the common citizen taxed at a 15% rate, where a corporation is 30, 35, 40%? What's the rationale behind that, except that we're going to steal from the rich and give to the poor? You know what Jesus Christ does? He steals from the poor and gives to the rich. Because the rich, in this context I'm about to read to you from Matthew 25, are achievers, are people who have invested their money. It's the parable of the talents. The talents. Now being gone, okay, watch then, for you're not aware the day or the hour when Christ shall return. Verse 14, Matthew 25, for it is even as a man traveling. He calls his own slaves and gives over to them his possessions. These are things, these are products, these are goods. And to one indeed he gives 5 talents, yet to one 2, yet to one 1, to each according to his own ability. And he travels immediately. So this is about ability. Now being gone, the one getting the 5 talents trades with them and gains another 5 talents. We have a trader. We have a capitalist. We have a man going out, investing 5 talents, which is a monetary, some kind of money denomination here, and he makes 5 more talents because he is enterprising. The term here is he gains it and he trades it. Trade, that's the term. Similarly, also the one with the 2, he also gains another 2. Yet the one getting the 1 talent, coming away, excavates in the earth and hides his Lord's silver. What happens? Verse 19. Now after much time, the Lord of those slaves is coming and settling accounts. He approaches the one getting the 5 talents. Brings to him another 5 talents, saying, Lord, 5 talents you give to me. Lo, another 5 talents I gain with them. And he does it by, what's the term? Not investing, but trades. Yes, trades with them. And the master says to him, well done, good and faithful slave. Over a few you were faithful. Over many will I place you. Now approaching the one getting the 2 talents, said, Lord, 2 talents you give me. Here are another 2 talents I gained with them. Again, by trading. The Lord was happy about that. Well done, good and faithful slave. Over a few were you faithful. Over many will I place you. Now, this is what happens to the other guy. Approaching the one, also having gotten the 1 talent, said, Lord, I knew you, that you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering whence you did not scatter. The thing here is, I knew you. He didn't really know him, but he thought this was how he was. A cold, exacting man. And being fearful, coming away, I hide your talent. Lo, you have what is yours. So I'm giving you what you gave me. So it's not like I really did bad, did I? Yes, you did. Verse 26. Now answering his Lord, said to him, wicked and slothful. They're slothful. Lazy. Lazy slave. You are aware that I am reaping where I did not sow, gathering where I do not scatter? It was binding on you then to be depositing my silver with the bankers. At least do that. Put it in the bank. And on coming, I should recover what is mine together with interest. I mean, these other guys traded, they invested, they were capitalists. That's fine. But you could have at least put it in the bank and got even a crappo interest rate. But no, you did absolutely nothing with it. So he says, take the talent away from him, away from the guy who didn't believe in enterprise, away from the guy who tucked it away and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. That's the guy who got the most. The richest guy in this scenario, the 10 talent guy, he gets the one talent from the slothful guy. For to everyone who has shall be given, and he shall have a superfluity. That means more than he needs. Yet from the one who has not, that is the poor guy, the disadvantaged guy, the guy that didn't have brains to trade, that also which he has shall be taken away from him. And the useless slave, useless, no use, does not use his abilities, does not use what he has to make more, cast into the outer darkness, there shall be lamentation, gnashing of teeth. Jesus Christ is a reverse redistributionist. He takes from the poor and gives to the rich. Put that in your political pipe and smoke it.